right, welcome everyone to Talking Shop Down Under, episode numero 13. This one is lucky 13. And tonight I have with me Craig Bailey. Welcome, Craig.
Thanks, Richard. Great to be here.
I'm glad to have you, actually. I've been wanting to get you on for a little while and things just hasn't quite happened.
I know, we finally catch up, so that's good. Thanks for having me on.
That's good. All right, so for those who don't know you, do you want to do a bit of an introduction of yourself? You know, a bit of background, where you've come from, what you're doing these days?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so, I've been in IT for a little while, probably 20 years now, and I come from a development background, database mainly, so Visual Fox Pro and SQL Server. I know you're a fan of Visual Fox Pro.
Isn't everyone?
Yep. So I was a big fan. I still am a big fan.
You know what? I need to say that you're the only person I know who's actually used Fox Pro.
Oh, really?
Indeed.
Well, there's a lot of us around. Yeah, but we're hiding these days.
Yeah, they keep you in back rooms where the sun doesn't shine, along with your COBOL programmers.
Yeah, that must be it. That must be it. So, yeah, so that's my background, database, SQL Server, and then pretty much the traditional career path. So team leader, software manager, and on to people management, you know, when you're good at something technically or technical, put you in charge of people. It's the normal it's the normal path. And so that's where I ended up, and you know, CTO and then technical director. And then I joined a startup in late 08, and then thanks to the GFC I was out of a job in early 09. So that career path ended, and then I've made a bit of a change, and because I guess there was no chance of getting a job at that time, the market was pretty dead. My wife and I kind of had this idea about trying something online, and we tried it and started selling, and then I basically immersed myself in SEO, search engine optimization, and Google Analytics and AdWords, and I guess the most important thing is conversion optimization, so getting traffic but then turning it into money. And, yeah, that's started to take off. And then lately I've just been doing stuff with my wife, doing stuff for other companies, so a bit of consulting on the side, which is, where I'm at now. Kind of half my time is with clients and the other half is building more websites.
So do you want to give you a little side of your company, a little plug while you're here?
So my consulting, you could get to via ZenSEO and .net, and that's spelt with an X.
So ZENX.
XENSEO. And it's one of those things. I registered a company years ago called Zen Systems, and I thought it sounded really cool to spell it with an X, but it's just a disaster because people see it.
Find it.
They don't know how to pronounce it, and then you pronounce it, they don't know how to spell it, and so, you know.
And they can't search for it easily on the web.
Exactly. So, I had my time over, I'd change, and I might even change. I've been trying to buy all the domains which spell it with a Z and then redirecting them, and yeah, fun and games. That's
the irony.
Yeah, I know. You can get to it via my blog, my craigbailey.net blog. Maybe that's where I should go. Just go there.
You should just call yourself craigbailey.com and everything will be sorted.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I've been trying to buy that domain for years. So, yeah, no chance. Craigbailey.net is all I could get.
Coming back just to the initial part, you went from a technical career into management. How'd you find the transition? That's usually a hard one for a lot of guys who have that technical background. They get promoted because there's no one else around. They think, oh, if you're good technically, you'll be good management-wise, and then you find that's not really the case. And that managers, you know, you need a lot of different skills to be a good and effective manager rather than just knowing how stuff fits together.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think the transition for me, and you've been through this before as well. I know in your career, it takes a while to let go of hands-on coding, and your responsibilities are normally much bigger and more in terms of technical direction, motivating your staff, making sure they know where they're going. And you do miss that day-to-day hands-on. Probably took me a couple of years to really get comfortable leaving that behind, I think. So I wouldn't say it's an easy thing. And now I guess I'm not really doing, I wouldn't call myself a developer these days, but it is a lot more hands-on stuff. Obviously, when I build sites and things like that, but yeah, the transition is hard, and I think most people have worked under a manager or a boss who's had no people skills, and they really should have stayed technically. Hopefully, I wasn't that bad. I
You weren't
wasn't
one of
that
them.
guy. Yeah. So I used to read a lot of books on people management and management skills, and I realized it wasn't something that came naturally.
So, what about the uncomfortable soft skills stuff? That I think from what I've, just from experience, that is one of the hardest transitions, trying to deal with people who aren't quite as black and white as coders. You can't program a person.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the common advice, and I agree with this, is finding out what motivates people. And in some ways, you could look at the world today and say it's a system of incentives, isn't it? What incentivizes people to do things and not do other things? And it's the same with developers. Find out what gets them going. And I think most developers want to feel that they're making a contribution. They're part of something bigger. It's not just writing code, but there's some purpose to what they do. So often making sure they're aligned with or understanding what the goals of a project is and how their part's going to actually make that a success is a key part. But I'm surprised often that developers don't know what their goals are. So I would always try and get developers thinking, what are their 12-month, 3-year, 5-year goals, that kind of thing. And really, that's what a manager's there for. You're there to look after the interests of the people, of your staff. And once they're looked after, they'll look after you. It's a bit of a circle, really. If developers kind of know what the direction of the company is, and they all get behind that, then the company does well, and then you, as the manager, get rewarded, which means you can then look after your staff. So it's that kind of virtuous circle, really.
It's a nice feedback loop when that happens.
Feedback loop, I like it.
All right, so then moving into your own little company,
Yeah.
that would have been quite a change from the security of a pay packet. Obviously, the GFC means that it's a false security at times anyway.
Yeah.
But that salaried type approach to being out on your own, having the shingle hanging out the front door.
Yeah, so I guess the consulting with me, selling my services has only come in the last 6 months. Going back to the start of 2009, it was more about online marketing, so selling a product online, so a little bit different. But yeah, there's a real, I guess there's no comfort zone there. You've really got to get out and make it happen. So I think it was really good for Michelle, my wife, and I. We really needed to work together and believe in ourselves and work hard in that regard. I can understand actually why it would probably tear some relationships apart, but others it makes it really work. In terms of my own just consulting side, that's something I haven't really done for financial reasons, although there is a bit of diversifying my our income, but it's more just been one of the problems with working at home and with your spouse is just that lack of all the social interaction that you get in a workplace. And I really miss that. That's probably been a really, yeah, really hard thing for me. And I don't know if you find this, and maybe the Redify guys find it, if you're working remotely, even if you're on a client site, but you know, if you're working from home, it can get pretty lonely. Or you just don't have that support around you to help you. So that's probably been one of the hardest things there. And the consulting work I do is great. I get to mix with a whole bunch of people that are, you know, smart. They've got new things I need to learn, and there's the social side as well. So, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think the work from home thing, the arrangement, at least in Redify, actually works reasonably well, probably because there's a real focus on staying connected even when you're physically separate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you see a lot of us on Twitter, and we've got an internal mailing list that's quite active.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about your internal mailing list and the benefits that
the infamous tech list, it's called.
Yeah, and I guess that is a great way to stay in contact, but also just, yeah, learn as well. So it's got that, from what I hear.
Yeah,
so
there's a couple of opinionated people on there.
All right.
Like the entire company. All right, so moving on, SEO. SEO is one of those things that I suppose people think of as, putting it nicely, snake oil merchants at time.
Mm.
So how did you feel going into that, and did that affect the way anyone treated you?
No, I don't think it's affected the way anyone's treated me. And I don't think I went into it thinking, oh, SEO, there's something I want to learn about. That could be, you know, an interesting area. It was more out of need. So when you, so our first business, for example, was all online. There was no offline component to the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus our market is predominantly the US. It's very, you know, it's very obvious that you've got to be found online. And so then you work out, okay, well, there's two ways to do that. There's paid advertising, which is
the ads
very good.
Yeah,
and it's also a very good way to lose a lot of money quickly if you don't know what you're doing. And then the second longer-term way is just to be found in the engine. So then you start thinking, well, okay, how do I make this happen? So that's how I got into it. And I guess I didn't realize till later that once I kind of took a higher level view of it, that, yeah, it is actually – there's a lot of shonks around. That's kind of, or a lot of cowboys, I guess I'd say.
The used car salesman.
It is, I guess. And I think that's starting to weed out. That's starting to, you know, it's kind of like financial planners in Australia 20 years ago. It was a lot of cowboys, and now that's kind of been a lot more regulated. I don't know if we'll ever get regulation in SEO, but well, especially as it moves so quickly, but it's becoming much more important to actually back up what you're claiming, and these people that can guarantee, you know, top results and things like that. I don't think really people believe that anymore, and it is much more about substantiating how you're going to do it. You know, it's a process. It is a bit of an art, but there's some pretty clear things that you have to do.
So with analytics, how do you I'm going to assume that most people who have a site have some form of analytics and have plugged into at least the Google Analytics engine, if nothing else, because that seems to be the most common one. How do you use that to try and figure out where to optimize? Because the information that comes through, especially with the search terms, is very much a search-specific thing. So if someone's searching for Talking Shop or Down Under, and then do Talking Shop Down Under, I'll get, you know, say three hits, for instance, for three separate search phrases.
Right.
But you can lose that in amongst everything else. You might get 1,000 hits out of a combination of 15 different search phrases, but you don't see it because it's behind a single phrase that gets maybe 200 hits or something.
Yeah. Well, the answer to anything related to analytics is it depends.
Awesome.
And the reason I say that is, well, the first thing is you can sometimes get too engulfed in all the detail and lose sight of the bigger picture. So when I say it depends on what the aim of your site is. So let's take a blog, for example, and say your goal is just to get more traffic. Because
So we
you,
can build up our geek fame, for instance.
let's say, yeah, and you might want to run advertising or something like that. So you just want to build traffic. And that might be different to, say, a business site where they're actually more about targeted traffic that converts. But let's just come back to a blog. So you might look at analytics and you'd say, there's a few things I could look at. I could look at bounce rate, okay? And you see that bounce rate is high, and you go, oh, is that actually a problem? And well, it might not be with the blog, because quite often when people search and they arrive at your blog, it's because you're answering a specific question. So you appear as a search term, and then they leave straight away. They've found the answer. So you go, okay, so bounce rate's not going to help me there. What about time on site? Okay, well, I'll look at my keywords, and I find when they come on certain keywords, they tend to spend a lot longer on the site. They don't leave. So I'm obviously meeting a need there. I'll write more content along those lines. Maybe it's answering a question or technical difficulty or something like that. So that might be your goal, because then you find that, well, if they spend more time on site, you happen to notice that your RSS count increases, because you're probably using Feedburner, and Feedburner integrates with analytics. You can actually see where your engagement is coming from. So that just might be the approach you take. Okay, I'll target the keywords, or I'll start responding to the fact that certain keywords are getting the kind of traffic I want and more engagement from users. That might be one way. In general, though, the way I look at analytics, is I use it as a general indicator of trends. So if I, the first thing I'll do with a client site, for example, is I'll get a baseline of the analytics. And I actually find this much more useful than, say, rankings. I do rankings reports, of course, and you want your rankings to be increasing. But actually, you want to look and see that your analytics is increasing. So you can use it as a baseline, and instead of this is coming back to you talking about the different keyword combinations. Instead of getting worried about which keyword or which keyword combination, getting too worried about, just look at overall, you're getting an increase on a set of terms. So talking, shop, all those combinations is growing. That's a good trend. If it's going down, then maybe that's not so good, or maybe it's not a problem. It might not actually be a concern for you. The other thing that I'd just mention to do with analytics is there's one of the great things about Google Analytics is it can do two things: custom reports and also goals. So you can actually set a goal. I don't know if you've looked at this at all. Goals for in Google Analytics, you can set a
Sure,
goal
because
for.
they're more AdSense related, aren't they? So that you link them to an AdSense campaign, is that right?
Well, no, I'm thinking goals. You can set a goal for the number of pages per visit. So one of your goals might be, I want to have more than 4 pages each time a visitor comes to my site. You can set that as a goal and then just pull that specific metric out and just track it over time. Put that into a custom report. Keep an eye on that. So that's this idea of engagement, how well people are engaging with the site. That might be a KPI you use and grow. So does that make sense?
Yeah,
And what?
I've not played with goals before. I've seen them sitting there, and I always thought they were just AdSense related because it had conversion rates and other
Right.
values in it and things like that. And I went, ah, you know what? It doesn't matter so much for me. I'm not that concerned. All right, so I noticed just in terms of search that Google redid their search site last week, was it? I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was back end of last week. They changed a little thing. So down the sidebar, you've got now a much more focused thing in terms of, you know, you put in a search term and it tries to figure out if it's mostly an image thing or a whatever else.
And they've like, gone for the three-column format. Yeah, interesting.
Similar to what Bing's done as well in terms of trying to be a bit more targeted around personalizing search.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm kind of curious as to where you see search engines going and what that would do to SEO in particular.
Yeah, so I think whenever something like this happens, there's always people jumping on saying, oh, it's a good idea or it's bad or not. The thing that Google does better than anyone else probably, is they test everything. They're very much based, they make their decisions based on data. And coming from a data background,
did Google Buzz get tested?
They might not test their privacy related things based on data. Well, certainly not people's feedback. But so anytime they make a change, I'm always very interested in that change, and I look to it and say they've done this for a reason. What can I learn versus whether I think it's a good idea or not? Or and I'm sure the Bing team are doing similarly. So I'm very interested that, well, actually going back before this recent change, I was very interested when they made it a much cleaner first landing experience. You know how the first time you go to Google.com, it's everything's hidden, and then you move and it shows, oh, my account settings and advanced search and things like that. So... Sorry, did you...
Yeah, keep going. Yep.
Yeah, so I was very interested when they did that. They made it a lot simpler. And now they've made the actual search results a little bit more complicated in some ways, and I think that's interesting. And they would just gather data to see what works, and they'll pull stuff out if it doesn't. So it's all about testing. And actually, that's one thing I probably wanted to mention earlier is that anything you do, and this is why people should use analytics if they're interested in improving their site, you should test everything. And it's another reason why I say it depends, because what's the goal for one site is not the goal for you. Test everything.
So how do you test things with SEO? You're really talking about the only way to test it is to push it out live and see what happens, right?
Yeah, that's right. Depending on what kind of site you are. So now I'm more moving to business sites where you're selling stuff and it's about the conversion. So let's assume you're getting traffic to the site. You want to test a few things. Is it the right kind of traffic? So if the traffic is coming from one source, you advertise, let's say, on another site and you get heaps of traffic, but it doesn't convert. I.e. they don't actually go through your sales funnel and complete a purchase, then that's not the right kind of traffic.
So you get slash dotted and everyone goes, looks at your site and then nicks off again 5 minutes later.
Yeah, exactly. Or the common ones, you get someone links to you on Twitter and you get a whole bunch of Twitter traffic. So from our perspective on business sites, we used to get a lot of traffic from Twitter and it never converted. But we get a lot of traffic from Facebook and it does convert. That works for us. It won't work for someone else. So you've got to test what works. Anyway, getting the right kind of traffic is the first, I guess, part of it. But then the second part is, well, let's say you've got the traffic coming to the page. What page elements work? So this is where you get into Google has its website optimizer, and there's a really cool tool called Visual Web Optimizer, which I use on a few sites, where they dynamically change the content on a page to see what people respond to. So this could be as simple as using a different image on a page, different banner, different headings. I test titles on pages, and then seeing which changes lead to higher conversions. So that's probably another part of testing. And I remember really one of your earlier episodes, I think someone, who was it? He sold a product online. Was it the LinkPad?
Yeah, Joe Alfari.
Yeah. And I think there was a comment about, you know, should he use a 3D box shot or not, or something along those lines. And the simple answer to that is test it, because a lot of people test it and a 3D box shot converts for whatever reason. And then, but on your site, it might not. So they're very simple things to test. So that's a little kind of overview of testing.
And that was in the Google Webmaster Tools, was it?
So it's actually part of Google AdWords. It provides Google Website Optimizer, which allows you. It's a little bit cumbersome because you actually have to put little JavaScript snippets in your page. So I'll send you a link. There's a product called Visual Web Optimizer, and it's really good because it visually allows you just to choose sections on your page. It'll work on any site. You just have to put one little bit of JavaScript at the bottom of your page, and then it allows you to basically change parts of, you know, if you've got a sales page or you want to check on your home page or what leads to more newsletter signups versus less. It's really good. So yeah, and there's plenty of other tools. There's heaps of them. Testing is just such a huge part of online marketing these days.
So what would, I suppose, as we're getting kind of towards time, but in terms of tools and things that people can try for themselves, anything in particular you'd recommend apart from the ones you've already mentioned?
Right. So I do list a few. I've got a page on my site. It's a resources page, and that links out to actually quite a few different tools that I use and recommend.
This is on your craigbailey.net site or on your...
It is, yeah. On that other one that's hard to find, yeah. under craigbailey.net, it might just be /resources, I think. I link off to a whole bunch of SEO resources. One of my heroes in the SEO space is a guy called Aaron Wall, and he has a site that's got a ton of tools for things like keyword research, testing things, getting ideas. It's great, and half of them are free. I'm actually I've one of his community members, so I get access to a whole bunch of tools. It's a paid thing, but it's even just his free tools are great. He's got a toolbar for Firefox, which has a ton of great tools. It's just on all the time in my browser, so. That's probably the main one I'd recommend. If you come away with nothing else, just go to seobook.com, and that's by a guy called Aaron Wall. He's great.
Oh, excellent. So as we're getting to time, do you want to plug a few things, user groups, other things you might be doing?
I help run the Sydney Business and Technology User Group, which is, fantastic. I describe it, it's a great group. We have some great speakers along. So we've been very fortunate to have you along on two different occasions, actually. But we really cover what I like to say is the why of technology options for business as opposed to the how. So I think most user groups are really good at covering how to use a product, how to do this, how to do that. And we just look at big picture, why a certain thing might be good, why you should consider it. So this month, for example, we're looking at online accounting tools and bookkeeping and time tracking and online invoicing, that kind of thing, which business owners would need, or maybe software managers as well in terms of time tracking.
Or guys who are just doing little businesses on the side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Freelancers and things like that. But there's a different topic each month. We're on the last Wednesday of every month. And we're in Sydney, of course, Sydney Business and Technology User Group. So you can look up sbtug.com. So,
yeah. And you should be able to just find that first rank because it'll be all SEO'd up, right?
It is, yes. Yeah, that's right.
You would hope there's not too many companies out there with the name SBTug, though.
It's hopefully memorable, but I'm just not sure if it's in a good way. But, you know.
Well, you could have renamed it to Schnubs.
Schnubs, he ranks. Yep. He's got his finger on the
pulse. Okay, so for those who don't have a clue, what the hell is Schnubs?
I don't know if we really want to go there, do we? No, but Schnubs is this little pet toy tiger, and he's kind of the mascot of SBTug, and I think I'll leave it there. Shouldn't say any more.
Google image search, or Bing even. Or yeah, Yahoo Bing. Search.
Yep. Yep.
Or Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, it's actually, who bought them recently? Yeah. Yahoo's still around. Yep.
Yahoo's still around.
Yeah.
Small organization that they are.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I was interested when their CEO said a little while ago they're not a search company. I thought that was an interesting comment.
What are they now?
Yeah.
I suppose they make their Flickr, aren't they? So they've got a lot of things that aren't under the Yahoo brand per se.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So actually, it does bring up an interesting question. When you do SEO and you're looking at your analytics, what are you seeing for search engines in terms of percentages? Have you seen much shift with Bing turning up?
It's small. So across my sites, I'd say on average, Bing is only 10% of the organic traffic that we'd get. It's up and down. I get a bit more on my blog, for example, than on my business sites. That's possibly because some would say that Bing tends to favor sites that are fresh and link out to other sites more. I haven't done enough testing to say whether I think that is the case or not. But yeah, around 10%, and it's growing. I also use AdCenter, which is Bing's version of AdWords, I guess. So we get a bit of traffic from Bing, from AdCenter. So on their paid advertising, they're pretty good. I don't get as much traffic from them as I do from AdWords. AdWords really is the goldmine, but they do convert okay, and Yahoo converts as well. I can rank well in Yahoo for some terms, which I guess I'm surprised at how different the engines are. You'd think they'd all be really similar, but on longer tail terms, they tend to be quite different, so traffic can be up and down. But yeah, 10% is probably a rough guide.
Okay, that's interesting, because on my blog, for instance, Google gets 95% of the traffic.
Right.
Bing's 3%, and then Yahoo, and then all the way down to the bottom to Alta Vista, believe it or not, I've got a single hit from them, and AOL one hit. So,
right,
it's crazy. Everything, literally everything, just about comes from Google.
Yeah, oh, that's quite high. That's higher than I would have expected. But yeah, it just goes to show, obviously, the content you're writing, Google's really liking, and the others
Bing isn't.
Have you submitted your sitemap to Bing Webmaster Tools by any chance?
No.
You say you probably should do that. The Bing Webmaster Tools is quite good, actually, and it's improving. So, and I think I've got a link to that on my resources page as well. You just need a live ID and then submit it. So it might just be the fact that some of your stuff's not getting crawled and indexed. You might even find that helps out a little bit.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I think we'll wrap it up there, Craig. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Richard.
My pleasure as always. We'll have to get you on again soon, in the not too distant future. Don't want to let it go too long.
That'd be great.
All right, and thank you everyone else who's been listening. This has been another episode of Talking Shop Down Under, and we are out.